Okay, everyone, welcome to Final Score with the Score. It's Chelsea 2, Servette 0. That's the final score. Chelsea kind of coasted to a comfortable win. In the Conference League. Penalty from Christopher Nkunku and another great goal from Madueke. From a great ball from Enzo, won the game. Servette had a few half chances. I think their best chance was right at the end, which was saved by Jorgensen on his debut. Yeah, that gives us a good lead going into the second leg of the game. It's a bit of an echo. I don't know where that came from. I'm going to bring up Louis so he can talk. And I can't write him. Louis, you need to write yourself up. Okay, all right. Okay, so in terms of the game today, a much changed 11 from manager Enzo Maresca. I can't remember how many changes there were. Changed to a kind of more the inverted system that we're used to from Maresca. Dizazi and Tosin and Badiashile as the centre backs, with Vega kind of inverting as a kind of deeper midfielder, and with Moises Caicedo, who was captain today, and then we had Mikhailo Mudryk, Pedro Neto making his debut. And Nkunku is the number 10, and Mark Guéhi up front, and that was the team. Kind of started fairly like solidly, nothing spectacular, but nothing bad. Then Servette came into the game a bit, had a period of, you know, they had a few corners, had a few half chances, you know, we weren't creating much. Pedro Neto looked pretty good when he had the ball. He was making some good runs, getting in the penalty area, getting the ball in, but we couldn't get a shot away. After that, you know, half time, Chelsea were booed off. We had one shot on target in the whole half, or a couple of shots. Mudryk had a chance, which he pulled wide. That was pretty much it. It wasn't, in terms of chances, it wasn't a great first half. And then the second half came out, no substitutions at halftime, came out and then won a penalty. Really good ball from Dewsbury Hall into the penalty area. Nkunku was pulled down by the keeper and that was a penalty. Nkunku put it away absolutely beautifully. Great finish. We should have scored a second almost immediately. Great pressing from Mark Guéhi, but how he missed that, I don't know. And I feel sorry for him because he's only 18. It's his first start for Chelsea. He's still pretty raw, but he's going to get absolutely hammered for that. Should have scored. Should have been 2-0 at that point. Looked pretty good second half. Then made some changes. Donny Medwenke came on, and a few other people came on. In the second half, kind of cost us a little bit. We didn't look quite as good to start with when they came on. Again, Servette had a few good half opportunities, had a bit of a spell of possession. And then a brilliant ball from Enzo Fernandez, who was on as a substitute from deep, his way he should be playing, in behind Nonny Medweke, made a brilliant run, you know, really good finish. And it was 2-0, and that was really it. We kind of backed off and sat back a bit in the last 10, 15 minutes trying to defend the 2-0 lead, which I don't particularly like, but, you know, we did it successfully. And Servette had one really good chance right at the end, which Jorgensen saved. And he had a pretty good debut. He didn't look in much trouble, didn't make any mistakes, and I would start him above Sanchez. So that was the game. 2-0. It's a good lead going into the second leg. We should go through. So that's the game. We're going to talk about the game today. We're going to get people up. I'm just going to try and get people up, so bear with me for a sec. We want to hear your views. We want to get you up and talk about the game, because I know people will have different views about the game. Let's do that. I'm going to Louis up as a co-host. Louis, what are your thoughts?
Hello, cool. You had a little bit of an echo there, mate. That was mad. What happened there? Where'd you start? I struggle to keep my eyes open, but as you know, I'm not a massive fan of the style of football. And having said that as well, though, I do think that there is some good foundation blocks there. You mentioned Jorgensen. He looks solid, was reliable when called upon. Looks already far more comfortable on the ball than Robert Sanchez does. So I'm very happy to see him. Hopefully he gets given those opportunities more. It's very much a case of job done. I think the overarching result is all that matters in this case. 2-0, win for Chelsea. Thumbs up, off we go. I think is very much the situation that we can look at with this game. Nothing particularly special. Nothing remarkable about it. It's just a nice, comfortable 2-0 lead to take into the second leg.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. It was like a professional performance. You know, we didn't...
Very much so.
I'm almost like glad we didn't thrash them, though, because I think if we won 5 or 6-0 or something, everyone would have been kind of getting carried away and, you know, getting too excited almost. But a solid 2-0 win, kept a clean sheet, you know... That's a good thing. Jorgensen had a good debut. Tosin had a decent debut as well, won a lot of headers. So good for him to get on and get some game time. Di Zarzi, I wasn't expecting him to play at all, actually, because he hasn't had a pre-season at all. He's been injured. So this was basically a pre-season game for him. And he took him off later on, which was the right thing to do because he... You know, obviously he's not completely match fit yet. Just a solid performance, you know, and nobody injured as well, which is a good thing. And then we've got the Wolves game on the weekend, and we can focus on that now. And yeah, Rambles, welcome to Final Score with the Score, as ever. Always good to have you here. What are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, a good 2-0 win. Enzo Maresca's first win as manager, which is nice. I think my overall takes is Jorgensen has to be number one for me. Sanchez has had so many chances and he's just so error prone. I think I really hope that Jorgensen does start against Wolves and that he can cement his place in the team. And my other take is Mark Gui. I really like the look of him, but I think he does need a loan move to go and develop.
Maybe
to a championship club or a German or a Spanish club. But for me, I just don't think he's ready yet. As good as he is, I just don't think he's ready to be first or second choice striker. He just needs to go and play at a lower level and just gain that experience and confidence from playing week in, week out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like him. I think he presses really well. He's got a good work ethic, you know. I mean, he basically made that chance for himself with good pressing.
He did.
And that's been one of his best attributes that I've seen, especially for an 18-year-old. But you're right, he does need to go and play at a lower level just to get some confidence, get some experience, you know, to develop. We all know we need a striker. We keep saying this every week, I think. We need a proper striker up front, someone who's proven, someone who's going to put the ball in the net. You know, I was joking, actually. When you missed that chance, I was joking. We seem to find ways not to score. This club, I just don't know. It's the death of me.
Renato Vega looks very good. I think he looks really, really good.
Yeah, I like him. I do. I really like his work ethic. He's, wins a lot of tackles. Wins a lot of headers. He's got something about him. His passing's pretty good as well. He actually played as a DM, I think, last season. But he's also can also play at left back and he can, and left centre back as well. So 100% agree with that, Rambles.
One bit slightly worrying news. Cole Palmer went straight down the tunnel holding his thigh.
Oh, shit.
So I don't, hopefully that's nothing too serious and it's just precautionary.
Oh, man. Just one game where we don't have one of those kind of, that's another good news. Like,
Magic Sponge, he'll be fine.
Yeah, sorry? Fingers crossed.
Yeah, Magic Sponge it and he'll be fine. To be honest, look, as much as he's our best player, and I think that's really important, I'd be interested to see how, if he is injured, I'd be interested to see how this new look side copes without him. I think that, there is no doubt, by the way, that he's our best player. I'm not sitting here saying, you know, I want him to be injured. He needs to be in the squad whenever he's available. But last season, you know, the famous words of Mauricio Pochettino saying we're not Cole Palmer FC before seeing us get absolutely torn apart by Arsenal. You know, I'd like to think that, you know, with this system in place and, you know, the players that we have in this squad and how we're playing our football, I'd be intrigued to see how the side copes without having the magic Cole Palmer in the side. It'd be very, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Cole Palmer's not 100% fit anyway. You know, Sunday and today are his first two games of the season. He hasn't had a pre-season. So I wouldn't, I don't know if he'd be starting. I wouldn't be wanting to play him full 90 minutes yet anyway. Because you don't want to push him. And he hasn't, to be fair, he played 90 minutes on Sunday and he came off the bench today. So, just in the video of Cole Palmer going down that tunnel. Oh, man.
The plus side is now, at least, you know,
we've got Neto. Something.
In the video scary. Towards the Jumbotron. Let's have a look at it.
What, the video? Yeah, okay. Hold on a moment.
Let's have a little peruse of that.
Let's share that. In the, I'm sure he'll be alright. It doesn't look serious. But this is why we need a big squad, right? I've said this, like we need a big squad so that we can cope with, I've just shared it. There you go. That's the video of Cole Palmer holding his leg as he goes down the tunnel. He wasn't really wasn't limping or anything.
Just looks a little bit tight. It'll be fine.
Yeah, probably a bit of cramp or something, to be honest. Which will be understandable. So, yeah, hopefully that's all right. Of course, we'll all be waiting with bated breath to see what happens with that. What players concerned you tonight? I've got a few of my own, but I want to hear what you've got to say, Rambles and Louis. What players did you look at and think, not impressed by them?
I wouldn't say it's the case of not impressed, but Mark Gwee, he worries me if we're going to be too reliant upon him. I think, you know, we desperately need that experienced striker.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
Because so many games last season, well, several seasons in a row now, missing good chances has cost us game after game after game.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think everyone's unanimous in the fan base, really, that we need a striker who can just take those chances and you just know they're going to score. 100%.
I mean, yeah. I like Mark Gwee. I like how he's quite an old school centre forward. You know, he seems to just be quite aggressive, really forward thinking. And obviously early doors, you know, he had a great opportunity. He's 18. I don't think we are going to be relying on him. And I do think that Chelsea are going to be bringing in a centre forward regardless. I think there's a lot of quality there. And I think that's a lad with a very bright future. Benoit Badiashile, on the other hand, he's just never been the same player since he came back from that long-term injury last year.
Yeah, I know. Strange to me, like he was really, really good under Potter, like really good. But yeah, ever since that injury, he's just not been the same. Yeah, I mean, you know, and I was a fan of his, you know, and yeah, 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 I mean, I was a bit frustrated with Mudryk, I'll be honest. The amount of times he got the ball and beat a defender and then gave it away, or did a bad pass, or did the wrong pass, or you know, whatever, basically made a bad decision. It was so frustrating to watch him. And he had some good moments as well, where he beat defenders and made some runs and whatever. That was good, but some of the final balls and like the decision making and passing, apart from a few instances, was really frustrating for me.
I was really hoping this would be the tournament where Mudryk could kind of kick on and build some confidence.
Yeah.
But he does a lot of good things, but then he just gets you so frustrated, like basic things. He just doesn't do what he should be doing.
Yeah, that's it. And then that's my frustration with him. I want him to succeed because I know he's got a good attitude and he works hard in training and all of that. Like, you know, he's not a...
Do we also want him to succeed because he cost £88.5 million? Because there is that for me, which...
£62 million.
Definitely factors into my thinking.
£62 million, because we don't pay the £88 million unless we win the Champions League and the Premier League.
Oh, okay, so it's fine. We're nowhere near that. It's fine. Yeah, that's not going to happen anytime soon. It's all good then. We're fine.
Unless we sell him before that, which would be fine.
For me, I'm kind of used to big money signings, not doing well at Chelsea now, with Kepa, Lukaku and various other players.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, because it's not the ownership, because it's happened under multiple owners. It's not the manager, because it's happened under multiple managers. So what is it? Like, why is it, you know, we have so many signings that we make and they don't work and they look good at other clubs and they come to Chelsea and suddenly they're like, no, it's just going to be crap here. Or not as good as I was or whatever. You know, it's like, it's frustrating. It's very frustrating. And the ones that do work are usually the ones that we don't spend as much money on. Like Cole Palmer, £42 million, right? That's not like I wouldn't call that a superstar signing or superstar fee, you know. And he's obviously been brilliant for us. So, you know, our best midfielder is the cheapest one we've signed, right? It's typical, isn't it? Like,
for Chelsea. I mean, look, Mikhailo Mudryk needs a loan move. I think a Bundesliga move for him or a, maybe a Serie A move would really do him a lot of good. Bundesliga, especially with the amount of space he has to run in behind, he'll have far more opportunities if he was playing for I don't think Dortmund would probably take him. So like a Stuttgart or someone like that maybe would take him and he could go there and really get regular minutes. I think he'd really improve. Problem is though, we're not going to see that because if, Mikhailo Mudryk goes on loan, that would be the sporting directors admitting defeat that they've messed up in an area. And they don't seem too keen to do that. And, well, that tune might change if they sell Axel Disasi.
They're happy to sell Nonny, which I don't understand.
Have you seen the clip I just put on the Jumbotron? It's quite funny. He's literally, when Nonny scored his goal today, he did his little celebration. And then apparently, someone's lip read it, so I take it with a pinch of salt. But he's pointed at himself and gone,
"Sell." Cole Palmer apparently was holding his hamstring, so we're fucked. Excuse my language, but no, I'm joking.
I can't believe you swore, mate. That's it. That's going that's straight fast. In the kitty. That's going straight towards our Christmas party as you did that. Unbelievable.
Three match ban.
I was a bit frustrated today, I must admit. I was a bit frustrated in the first half. Like, you know, this is the game we're meant to be winning easily. And I'm like, I can't even do that. Like, you know, I was like, I'm trying to be patient. I'm trying to defend everybody. And I can't, and like, this is, you're not giving me anything. Like, give me something. Like, I must admit, I was a little bit frustrated today. And that's probably what that is.
This is going to be one of those competitions because we're expected to win big most games. You know, if you only win 1 or 2 nil, there's going to be a lot of disgruntled fans.
Yeah, even a draw in this competition is not going to be acceptable, like for a lot of fans, because of the nature of the competition. Right. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get some people up to speak. So we want to hear your views on the game. We want to hear your views on who played well, who played badly, your thoughts on the debuts today, Tosin and Jorgensen especially, Pedro Neto as well. So do come up, do get yourself up here and request to speak. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, while we're waiting for people to come up, what players, like, and what did you think of the debutants actually? Tosin, Pedro Neto and Jorgensen. We talked about Jorgensen a little bit already, but the other two. What do you think of Tosin and Neto today?
I think Tosin had a very solid game, and I think he'll, being a free transfer, it'll be a very shrewd piece of business for us. I would say Fofana will be first choice, but I wouldn't have any problems. I'd feel comfortable with Tosin coming in.
Unfortunately,
with Tosin, Simon Johnson's just reporting that he seemed to also come off the pitch with a little bit of a niggle. But Maresca's going to update everyone in his press conference post game. So that's obviously because, in case people didn't know as well, as we are playing late now on Thursdays, the pre-match pressers for the games on Sunday will be taking place on the Thursday nights after the games. So we'll literally find out about Tosin and Carl Palmer within the next sort of like probably 45 minutes tops. Okay, so whilst we're live, we'll definitely get all the responses.
Yeah, keep on top of that, Louis, and we'll get those comments, hopefully. So, right, we've got some people up. So, Redford, you're up. So let us know what you think of the game.
The thing I really just wanted to say is I know after the City game, Enzo was a big topic for conversation about obviously him playing deeper and more in the 10. And granted, today was a game which we got done out of the way. It was a game we had to win, and we did. But I don't think enough people are talking about the actual pass to Nonny for the second goal. I think that gets him a lot more credit than the bad heat he's been having, especially after the City game. I just want to know what you guys thought, really.
Louis, what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I think it was a fantastic pass, but one pass isn't going to make a difference to what has been a fairly lackluster 6 to 8 months. We actually discussed it in the TalkSport studios yesterday with Enzo Fernandez and, you know, his position at Chelsea. And, you know, from the outside looking in, it's just untenable for a lot of people. So he's got to really prove his value in this side, I think, over the next 6 months, especially under Maresca. You know, we talk about how, you know, he wants to play a very particular style of football. Enzo Fernandez has an opportunity to be extremely pivotal in that, and that's a big reason why we bought him. However, you know, as we discussed in the João Felix announcement space a couple of days ago, score, you know, does Enzo Fernandez do enough to warrant a place in this team? Now, obviously, in games like today where he maybe has the space and the opportunity to really take on a player and look for those passes against lesser opponents, absolutely. I think it was great to make that pass. He showed he has the vision. It was a fantastic move. But, you know, can we expect him to do that against Arsenal, against Man City, against, you know, Newcastle, I put in there as well, because obviously realistically, you know, there's a, in terms of sides in the Premier League in that upper echelon bracket, and obviously Arsenal and City are in a class of their own right now, but in terms of sides which Chelsea can be competing against for those European places, and I mean the elite European places, is Enzo Fernandez going to really do enough in those games to warrant a starting place in this team? That's all I think about it. Great pass, great move, great game today, but now he needs to continue that form.
Yeah, I fully get what you mean, because obviously the performance that Lavia put in, he's almost cemented himself definitely for the next game to see how he plays. And if we've got more of these attacking players coming in, Felix more recently, and Kunku wants minutes, if we've got all these players that need to fill these attacking positions, it might even be more beneficial to play the double pivot of the likes of Caicedo and Lavia. And yeah, I think it's going to be quite difficult for Enzo to properly force himself 100% into the team, because as you've seen with all the transfers, the actual spending and the fee for him, it doesn't really mean anything at Chelsea at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Enzo in terms of his ability, but I keep saying he's got to play deeper because that's what you get when he plays deeper, right? You get that passing range. He shouldn't be playing up top. He shouldn't be playing 10. He shouldn't be playing. That's not his position. I don't care if he wants to play there. He shouldn't be playing there. It's as simple as that. And the manager needs to go and say, look, this is not your position. This is where you're most effective. This is how you can help the team, right? This is where you're going to play when you play. And that's it. You know, and that's it. And in terms of whether he gets in our starting 11 right now, well, I don't know. I'm not sure if he gets in our first choice 11, honestly. I think Lavia and Caicedo should be playing together against Wolves. But Enzo will probably play, you know. So we'll see what happens anyway. But yeah, it's a big season for him. He's got to start stepping up this season, Enzo Fernandez. Yeah, good points, Redford, good points. So we're going to bring up somebody else. Right, hold on a minute. So Chelsea FC Portugal, welcome. And just what are your views on the game and who played well and just any thoughts? Unmute yourself and we'd love to hear from you.
Going once. Going twice. Okay, sound. I haven't actually have introduced you, Cole. So actually, Red is going to be part of the Chelsea Echo team this season. He's actually going to be the producer for this show, taking down all the notes for all the points that you guys make. So, you know, he's always going to be knocking about. So, you know, Red, do you want to say hi properly? Like, you just want to, you know, just pretend that, you know, that's that, or is he a spinner?
Yeah, so hi guys, looking forward to helping out with this show. And yeah, it really comes down to you guys bringing some good points, because if you don't bring any good ideas, we can't exactly get many good points from it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and if we can keep getting wins like tonight, it should be a fun one. But you never know with Chelsea.
Welcome on board, mate.
Yeah, welcome Red. It's good to have you on board.
It's weird having a name like Red when you support Chelsea.
Yeah, it gets a few weird looks, but yeah, once you go over it for the first time.
It is what it is. Yeah. I think Portugal's requested again, mate, if you want to bring him back up, Scott.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, absolutely. He did wave at us after we he left. So, okay, Rhett, right. Portugal. Hey, welcome. What do you want to say about the game?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I just went to the kitchen, and when I came back, I was like, come on. I didn't expect it, for real. I didn't expect that you guys were going to add me here. But thank you so much for adding me. And I just wanted to say just some small little things. I speak small English and more Portuguese. So what I wanted to say was, I want to talk about the game, right? The thing is, guys, I don't know about the process, guys. I'm trying to be patient. I love Chelsea, but I'm trying to be patient. But I don't know about the process. Like, we're selling all our academy graduates, right? And look at the players that we are bringing in, right? I don't know the guy that came from Leicester. What does he do? Like, what does he bring to the team? What does he bring to the team?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, he helped win the penalty against Dewsbury Hall. It was a great ball from him in behind to Nkunku, which then won the penalty. So, he has a lot of energy, right?
No, but, you know, my problem is, like, the way we are approaching this process, right? Because the problem is we spend a lot of money, but if we check, a lot of money we spend on players that we don't need, especially those kids from Brazil, like, they're just buying kids from Brazil, this kid. Not every kid is going to be Neymar. Not every kid is going to be this, right? We still need a striker. We still need a striker. Somebody that can just call goals. But I don't know. I'm trying to give Mahrez the time. But sometimes his approach, like, you know, professionalism, guys, the way he's treating other players, especially Chalobah and all those other guys, That's not it. That's not it.
In fairness, Mariska, the sporting directors, the ones that have been trying to shift on Conor Gallagher was specifically was for been trying to shift on for at least three transfer windows. Trevor Chalobah was considered surplus before Enzo Maresca had even come into the fray. And he's very much someone who the club obviously, you know, he's a coach. It's not his role, which is what he made very clear in his press conference before the game yesterday. And I mean, look, I appreciate how it feels. And I'm very much in the same boat. I really do feel that, you know, Trevor Chalobah is currently Chelsea's best central defender. And we're currently marginalising him because we don't feel that he brings the value, or they don't feel he brings the value that he can to the team. But with that being said, you know, it's not, Enzo Maresca could try and say something, but it doesn't seem like it'd be in his character. Also as well, I mean, you're saying you want to give the guy time. It's been, I mean, look, I've very openly said for the past few weeks that I'm personally not somebody who's a fan of the style of football. But you say you want to give him time, but you're already going, oh, I'm not too sure about this. Like, what makes you feel that way?
You know, the other thing is I have a friend who's playing for like Porto under 21, right? So he's like the best friend of that guy called the Francisco Conceição. So Conceição, he knows some other people that are professional from that are playing for Chelsea as well. So you know, I asked my friend Conceição, we used to play together in the academy in Portugal. So I actually asked him about a lot of things. Then he was telling me like there's a lot of things that is happening like behind the scenes at Chelsea as well, you know. Like, trust me, for right now, it's like, you know, if we look at the project that we're trying to make, if it works, it's going to be good. But at the moment, there's a lot of risk. There is a lot of risk. Last season, it was very good. And there was a reason why Pochettino was stuck. It's not the results and all those things. It's about the key. They want somebody they can control. They want somebody they can tell, like, look, play this guy, don't play this guy. You understand? It's all about the keys. Like now it's becoming very clear. When Pochettino did what he did last season, right, then he was asking for like more power. He was asking for those other players. Like, look, I want somebody who's more experienced in this and that, right? And that's where there was a lot of problems as well. No, it's not about the result. It's never about the result. It's about like the person that they can control. They're looking for that person. The reason why Porter stayed there for a long time, right, it was because they would be like, look, do this and you'll do that thing. The reason why they sacked Porter was the pressure from the fans. It was getting bad. It was like getting bad. That's the same thing. I don't know. You know, I really want to give Enzo Maresca time. I want him to build his own team, right? But I want them to support him, not to tell him, look, play this person, play this person. We want to sell this one. We want to sell this one. That's like,
yeah.
It's not going to work. It's not going to work that way. Let the coach do his own thing. Let him say, look, I want this player.
Apparently, and Maresca got more heat from the fans tonight, which I think is disgusting, quite frankly. And second game in charge, and like, it's just, that is inexcusable to me. It's not like he's been here 2 years or a year or, and we're in the relegation zone or whatever. Like, two games in charge.
I appreciate that.
No, there's no excuse for it.
Hang on. No, but like...
I'm a fan is to back the team and a new manager, two games in. There is zero excuse. To me, I personally, that's how I feel.
Unfortunately, in this situation, the coach is a meat shield for the likes of Paul Winstanley and Lawrence Stewart, right? And they're the ones that have set out the mantle of they want to play a particular style of football, which is not in keeping with the culture, I feel, and the heritage that Chelsea has. You know, if you look at, I think what's happening right now is that if you look at Chelsea across the past, well, even further than the 90s, you know, tippy-tappy party football has never really been Chelsea's forte. You know, there's been a certain aggression and you know, flamboyance to how Chelsea play. But now everyone's watched Manchester City and everyone wants to be this particular team. And yes, I think that's why everyone's so upset with the current situation.
Well, Man City wants.
But look, Lewis, I have a problem with if we were trying to approach like the Man City way, did you see like how Man City build their team? It's different from the way that we try to build our team.
Guys, trust me. With Chelsea in the 1990s, Glenn Hoddle, when he came in, played the same kind of football we're trying to play now. Passing, possession, technical, you know, three at the back, you know, keep the ball. That's what he did. It took him 3 years to get it. I mean, we didn't have the money that we have now. But when it worked, it really worked. And then with Bullock, played sexy football. It wasn't, you know, counter-attacking whatever kind of football. It was passing, technical football. But like Louis has said, it was, you know, more intense, faster, you know, that kind of... Chelsea fans like that. We want a fast, intense style of play. That's more like what Jurgen Klopp plays, right? That's what Chelsea fans would probably prefer, right? If Chelsea fans got to choose between Klopp's football or Pep's football, they'd probably choose Klopp's football, right? And that would be my choice. I'm not going to hide that. That's my preferred style of football. But I do think that in terms of the pace of the play, you've got to remember they're still learning this system. They're not going to be able to play it intuitively or quickly yet, right? It's not going to... I think the idea is you keep possession slow, keep possession at the back, and then when you get into the final third, you increase the tempo, you up the pace, and you're quicker, you move it quicker, you get into the box, you get the ball in the box, and whatever. I think that's the goal. And that's how it is, you know, that's... I don't blame the sporting directors for wanting to play that way, because that way has won the last six of the last seven Premier League, and we want to win the Premier League. Like, and yes, I agree that it's not historically Chelsea's style of play. I would agree with that. That's why fans are having problems with it, right? And I understand that. But this is what we've got right now. You know, I don't want us to change managers again. You know, I think we've got to give somebody some time, right? And give him a season at least to see if it works, right? If in a season it's not working and the football doesn't improve and we're not playing well or whatever, and it's still not enjoyable to watch, then that's a different thing. But, like, you know, two games.
But for real, the scout, you know, the problems right now at Chelsea is like we are just giving everybody a season just to try to do their own thing. Like, we need to win. Chelsea is a team that is used to
win.
And when Todd Bowley took over Chelsea, he knew that he was taking a team that was winning a trophy in each and every maybe two seasons. We're winning trophies. And you came in and the first season didn't go well, the second as well, the third as well, the fourth as well. There's going to reach a time that, look, the only reason why most of Chelsea fans are not like angry is because they are always spending a lot of money buying players that we don't really need. That's the problem. We spend 1 billion, right? More than a billion. But how many players do you buy that we really need as a club? Like, we are buying a lot of players that we don't even need. That's the problem. And very soon, we're going to start having those points deduction and all those things. That's my biggest fear. And you, the next day you woke up, Chelsea in relegation. Because, like, we went from, like, looking for top-class coaches, right, to going to... From there, we went from Nagelsmann. That was good. Everyone was excited. But all those coaches, there's something that nobody knows. There's something behind all those things, like, why is, like, now a lot of top coaches used to love to come to Chelsea? But look at us right now. It's like it's shambles, bro. Since they took over, it's like shambles. It's not working.
Yeah, thank you, Portugal. I will say this. There is, I think, and I don't actually blame the owners for this. I think it's been something that's been going on for longer than this ownership. That there's something that's not quite connecting in terms of, you know, the Chelsea feeling around the club, right? And the only time I felt that in the last 7 years is when Frank Lampard was the manager. Other than that, you know, since we won the last one, the title, since John Terry left, basically, I don't think we've had that. And they somehow need to bring that back in. They need to get people like Lampard or Terry and Drogba involved. Right? And because they understand, there's something about the club they understand that needs to be passed down to, you know, the sporting directors and to and to the players, and to like, it needs to something in something needs to be put back into the club. That Chelsea feeling. I think Louis knows what I mean, and Ramble probably knows what I mean as well.
For me, it was Antonio Conte's first season was, I think, the best atmosphere we've seen in a long, long time. When we were going to the stadium, everyone was singing Antonio, Antonio, and it's just not been quite the same since. For whatever reason, there's just been so many kind of divides between the fan bases. Now, especially when he had Sarri, there was a Sarri, yeah. Jorginho divide.
People criticise that style of play, including me. We won the Europa League and we finished third in the league, and we had the third best defence in the league.
And I've noticed in recent years there's been a lot of player divide as well. One yeah. side of the fan base is with a certain player, the other side of the fan base backs another player.
Yeah, it's I think that's a football thing. I think that's more not just a Chelsea thing. Football culture has changed a lot in the last 10 years, as far as I can see. And fans follow players as much as they follow clubs now. And, you know, people on Twitter stan different players and, you know, it's the player over the club and stuff. You know, I mean, I even see it with Cobham. Like, some people, like, it's the Cobham players over every other Chelsea player, right? It's, you know, every Cobham player is the next Messi. You know, it's football culture, and I don't particularly like it anymore. You know, I want us to follow our club, the badge, the shirt. You know, when I say the club, I don't mean the ownership. I mean the club, Chelsea Football Club. Which is who we all support. And it's a great club, you know, and it hasn't felt like a great club for quite a long time, not just this ownership before that. It's bigger than that.
And I think a club, at an elite level, though, football fans aren't viewed as that. The football at the elite level, unfortunately, now it's a commodity. Yeah. It's an entertainment factor.
Yeah. I don't like it. Yeah. I mean, UEFA, to take it even bigger, UEFA and FIFA and the number of international tournaments and games that they make players play, I think is a symptom of that. They want to make money. They don't care about players' well-being, you know, their physical well-being especially. You know, and you're seeing players get burnt out and injured, and, you know, it's not good, you know. And yeah, it's sad really, but that's the cost of being a big club now. You've got to accept that part of the culture, even if you don't like it, and I don't like it. But there's some good points there, Paul. Thanks for that. I did want to share something. That's some good news. Enzo Maresca's comments on Cole Palmer. I put it in the space. He said that Cole felt something, but he looks fine. They've already checked him, and he looks okay. Hopefully, he's not any problem, and he can be available for Sunday. So you can all breathe. Cole Palmer's all right, it looks like. So. He also said that he wants Nonny to stay, but until the window shuts, anything can happen. He was quite pleased with the clean sheet, and there were some good things about the game, especially after making 9 changes. 9 changes. And I don't blame him for doing that. That was the right thing to do, by the way, with the league game at the weekend. We're going to see that a lot, I think, this season. Big changes for midweek games and then a different team for the weekend. Yeah, so, right, so let's get some more people up. Vince was back. He was here at the weekend. That's good to have him back. Vince, share your thoughts on the game.
I thought overall, you know, it was a decent performance. It wasn't, you hope to dominate a team that's, in Switzerland, but it's not always as easy as that. And, we kept a clean sheet, so that's always a positive, you know, first clean sheet under Maresca. One thing that I was wondering, and I was going to ask you guys, was we haven't seen this in nearly half a decade, but Reece James back at when he was on loan at Wigan, and when he first played with Chelsea, he was actually briefly playing as a center back in a back two. And, you know, he's obviously played center back in a back three, but if, you know, our center backs do struggle and we, you know, struggle to find a consistency of a pairing, would you ever consider, and I know we don't really, then, you know, it would leave us thin with backups, but would you ever consider putting, you know, Gusto as out wide as the right back, and then, you know, James as the right-sided center back, because I do think if we're putting our four best defenders out there, Gusto and James would be on the pitch at the same time, but they're just blocking each other because they're in the same position. So it's not something that we've seen in a long time, but it was something that he did do a while ago when he was younger in his career.
Did, yeah, when he was in the academy, he played, well, he played almost every position.
Yeah, midfield, center back, everywhere.
Yeah, I remember Jody Morris saying, but it some comments after an academy game, where he said that, you know, basically he could basically feel like he could play Reece James anywhere as an outfield player, and he'd do a job because he's that good. And he was excellent in midfield for Wigan. I mean, he got voted their best player in their history for one season on loan at Wigan, you know, because he got given the captaincy in the last game of the season. He was absolutely worshipped there. So, I mean, I've always said he could play midfield and be brilliant, and he could probably play centre-back and be brilliant as well. In terms of the physicality, he could absolutely deal with that. Also, it would mean he wouldn't be running at players, so that less likely to get injured. You know, I do think that, like, eventually he'll end up as a deeper midfielder. I think he'd be really good as a deeper midfielder, honestly. I really do. Like, his passing and his vision are really, really good.
Like, I do think, and another advantage of, you know, him playing center back is we haven't had a guy really since Rudiger who can make those, you know, carrying the ball, you know, forward from the back line, literally through, you know, into the attack. Like, and that's something Reece James could do easily, is, you know, bring the ball forward from a center back's position.
Yeah, the big reason that Rudiger did that, though, was that we were playing a back three. If you're playing two center backs, you're not going to see the center backs do that. So realistically, that's not really really an option in that case.
We kind of played a back three tonight. So, well, I mean, there's, you know, it's, yeah, but I know what you're saying. Yeah, Louis, I mean, that's easier to do in a back three, isn't it? Like, still annoyed that we let Rudiger, that they were going to let Rudiger go, man. Still can't believe that.
I think I saw a report about Christensen potentially leaving Barcelona. I mean, I would love to see him come back.
Right, yes. Lots of people have been talking about that. I was never that big a fan of Christensen, I'm going to say. But, I mean, he's good on the ball. He probably would suit Maresca's system. He's good at keeping possession, you know, brings the ball out. Yeah. But, again, I think he's more suited to a back three than a back four, Christensen. He was excellent in a back three under Thomas Tuchel. I think we all remember that. He came on in the Champions League final, was really good in that game. Be interesting to see where he ends up, actually. I'm interested to see where he ends up. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Anyway, thanks, Vince. You always make some good points. Always good to hear your perspective. Thanks for coming up. Rambles, what are your thoughts on Reece James and, you know, different positions that he can play? Rambles.
Yeah, he's dead.
Oh, he's alive. There he is.
I've always said I'd like to see Reece James in midfield because I think he could play the midfield role. He did play defensive midfield quite a lot for Wigan, I think, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was there for the season. Yeah, playing there.
So, I mean, having Gusto, like, if you wanted to get both in the team and you wanted to rest maybe one of the midfielders, I would happily see Reece James playing defensive midfielder and Gusto playing right back. I think that could work.
I think you could certainly play Reece James as a midfielder in the Conference League. Like, I mean, yeah, 100%. Even if you don't want to do it in the Premier League, you could definitely do it in the Europa League. We've actually got some decent cover in that position. I mean, like, Vega was essentially midfield tonight, even though he was technically a left back. And he was pretty solid. And Reece James will be excellent as well. You know, that's Maresca's kind of preferred system, is like that at least one of the wing backs inverts and almost plays as a defensive midfield player. That's what we did tonight. I think that's what we'll try and do against the easier opponents. Against the top opponents, I think we'll do what we did on Sunday, which is, you know, kind of a traditional back four with three midfielders, and kind of a diamond triangle kind of thing.
I think one good thing we've got now is we've got a lot of players like Reece James, we've got Vega, we've got Felix and Kunku. We've got several players who can play in two or three positions.
Yeah, and that was something that they said they wanted to achieve.
In Swiss Army knife, I think they used, didn't they?
That's it, yeah, Swiss Army knife. I mean, even up top, I mean, like, you know, Palmer can play on the right or the centre, and Funky can play up front or play as a 10. Felix can play on the left or as a 10 or as a false 9. You know, so you've got attacking players who can do that as well. So, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's very Pep Guardiola, that, isn't it? He has players that can play multiple positions. I mean, he basically plays, when Kyle Walker's not playing, he almost plays four centre-backs as a back four. Nathan Aké is like a centre-back and a left-back. And Vardiel is a centre-back, really. But he played left-back last season. So, yeah, it's kind of a thing in football at the moment. And it's very much of the Pep school, where you have players that play multiple positions. Thomas Tuchel was kind of similar, actually. He liked players who could play multiple positions as well. So that's an interesting one. I wonder what, it'd be interesting to see what team he plays against Wolves on Sunday. Right, okay, let's bring up Mart.
Is that the Mart? Is that the King of Swansea?
I don't know. Let's see. Mart, welcome.
Evening, everyone. How are you all?
It's Mart, the King of Swansea! Back!
He's back.
The second best thing to come out of Swansea other than Joe Allen. That's probably it, I think.
I put Tom Jones in there somewhere, surely. Come on, boys, be fair.
Is he from Swansea? Oh, fair enough.
That, well, Ponty, that's close enough. That's close enough. Hey, lads. Couple of thoughts on this evening, right? I'm just reading now what Maresca said this evening about Madueke and Mudryk. Really, really some interesting quotes. When you actually pick the detail out of it, he's actually said for both of them about consistency. When you look at Mudryk, he's talking about, you know, we don't know what we're getting from one day to the next. And when you look at what he says about Madueke again, it's about that. He's made that point about every day. It's okay doing it now and again. You got to do that every day. And I think that kind of sums up last season from those two guys, doesn't it? You know, that, you know, on their day, they're great, but we don't see that day in, day out. So I think he's made some really fair and decent points there, to be fair, about the two guys.
What are your thoughts, Louis?
I do think that Noni Madueke is a great asset. He's absolutely right about the other side of the pitch, though. I think, yeah, Mikhailo Mudryk definitely needs to step up and really showcase his abilities sooner rather than later. But I was very surprised when the club said they're willing to listen to offers for Noni Madueke. He's a player who I think... Look, I'll be honest, beginning of last season, I wasn't too sure about him. And then, you know, by the end of the season, he was pretty much one of the first names on the team sheet for me. I thought he was so direct. He's got a good character about him as well. You know, I do feel that there's a real asset in there. But because of how Chelsea have handled their transfer business, it seems that he's maybe considered surplus. But, you know, I do think in terms of the talent we have on that right-hand side specifically, I'm not too sure, other than Cole Palmer being the obvious, who starts ahead of Noni Madueke. I think he's definitely the player who is, you know, that Swiss Army knife approach to that left and right-hand side, and someone who should strongly be considered as a massive part of that squad, as someone who can not only probably start those Conference League games, but be someone who, when you're chasing a game, he can come off the bench and really make a difference.
The quote is that he says today that he's got to improve his consistency every day and work hard, and then we'll get minutes. So I wonder if he's saying there basically you're not training hard enough, you're not showing it on the pitch, you know. And I think that's what he's probably getting at there, isn't he? He's giving him a very clear message, because the celebration worried me when I saw. I know he joked about it earlier that, you know, what you sell me. It just bothered me. He didn't celebrate. He turned. It was quite nonchalant. It bothered me, I got to be honest, from the way that he reacted to that goal. It was a bit. It felt like he was sending a message back to the manager that he's been bothered by the talk as well.
But then in fairness, I mean, I think Noni Madueke is renowned for being incredibly nonchalant. You know, he fancies himself as a little bit of a roadman, despite spending £10,000 a year on his education at St Albans School. But, you know, it's a situation where, you know, Look, I think he's naturally quite nonchalant. He's quite happy-go-lucky, evidently. That's something that I often hear coming out of the training ground is about how he, you know, he's just such a big personality. And I think, look, sorry, go on, school.
No, I was going to say, I mean, I can't help but love Nonny Madueke, honestly. I love his enthusiasm, his energy. He has got better. He has improved as a player since he's been with us. His finishing today was great. It was a brilliant run. It was a brilliant run in behind, and then he forced his way past a couple of defenders, and it was a good finish, you know. And I don't think we should sell him at all. I think we should keep him. I'm not saying he'll be a regular starter, but he's definitely a good player to have around, and he gets the crowd going as well, because he makes things happen. You know, he's got a bit of magic, and he runs at defenders and stuff, and fans love that. So,
I think I must admit, I really like the honesty from Maresca. He just says it how it is. Yeah. He doesn't hold back.
Yeah, I love that.
He's so cutthroat when people saying you're a little bit brutal. I love the way how he was so Italian. He was be like, "I'm brutal. I don't care. You can go away." It's like, yes, I love it. I just love how he's just so to the point. He gets his point out, and he's like, "Well, favorite bit yesterday from the presser yesterday was when he was saying, I don't care if you have a 20-year contract. If you're not part of my plans, you're not playing." I was like, fair enough.
Also, like, my view of that press conference was it was like watching Prime Mourinho, honestly. It was, he absolutely took on the press in that press conference. He called them out. He didn't hold back. He was brutally honest. And I like that. I like that Chelsea fans like that. I think, you know, in terms of how he handles the media, I think he's suited to Chelsea Football Club. You know, that's how Chelsea fans want their managers to act. Made me like him a bit more, that press conference. I was like, yeah, I can deal with this guy. But, you know, he's not a walkover. He's not a nice guy. You know, he's not a pushover. He's serious. He's here to do his job, and he's not going to let anyone get in his way. And he just try and make everyone like him. He doesn't care about everyone liking him. He just wants to.
Having said that though, and I completely agree, he has to start getting results. And obviously, you know, today was the first step towards that. But he needs to now really set out the benchmarks and get those results. Because if he carries on like that and Chelsea aren't getting results, he'll be in trouble.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like Antonio. They would talk like a lot of shit, but he backed it up immediately right away, you know. But he would,
yeah. Which he, to be fair, we won today, so you know he did kind of back it up. It would have been a bit embarrassing if we'd lost today and he'd said all that stuff, you know. But
what he's got is standards, and he can go back to sort of Sterling on this, can't you? You could point out that. Oh, you know, poor Sterling, he's being pushed. But hang on, you're on 300 grand a week. You're not performing.
Yeah,
you know. Therefore, in my profession, if I'm not performing, you've got to accept when it's not happening for you. You have to. You're going to get criticism. You're going to get moved on.
True. We need to bring Rambles in for his performance review. We've not done that yet, Skull. That needs to happen.
Can I just add one?
I'm ready when you are.
Also, I mean, I'm really pleased that we've got a manager with that kind of personality. You can see the influence. You can see he's worked with Pep Guardiola for a year, right? You can see it. You can see that's rubbed off on him, you know, because Pep has standards. Pep doesn't mess about. Pep Guardiola has done exactly what Maresca's doing. I think, I remember Joe Hart basically got left out of the squad.
Yep.
When he arrived there, he'd been their number one keeper and won the title with them and stuff. You know, so, you know, it's not an isolated thing at Chelsea.
Roy Keane?
Yeah, I mean, Ferguson with Roy Keane. I mean, I remember that. That was brutal.
Off you go. Don't fit anymore. You know, off you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens at winning clubs in Chelsea. Mourinho, I don't know any specific instances, but I'm pretty sure he would have done it under Mourinho as well. Mourinho did it with Kevin De Bruyne, didn't he? Or didn't quite leave him to train with the reserves, but he left him out of the team. This is, you know,
the only way he get the only thing what he wants is by getting rid of the players that don't fit his system. And if the system he wants doesn't include Sterling or whoever else, well, there you go. And I'm kind of glad that I suppose the owners are backing him on it in saying, okay, well, if you don't fit what I want to do, there's no point you being here. You're just taking up 325 grand a week, sit on the bench. You're better off moving. That's his honesty. That's his good business. That's just life, I'm afraid, isn't it? Where, you know, if your face doesn't fit with managers or whatever, that is game over. That is just the way life works. I haven't got too much sympathy with footballers with the money they earn on it, but, I think in the long term, this may well benefit us. Clear the decks, get the players he wants in, get behind the manager. Because his system of football, it feels a bit like Russell Martin.
That's not a good representation, Mark. Can we have someone a bit more elite, please?
No, but it is.
Enzo Maresca's Russell Martin. Everyone's going to put their head in their hands.
What I mean is he has a distinct style of play and he is going to stick to that style of play. And when it clicks, it will click. You're going to get moments where it goes wrong. Like today, Gusto plays that horrendous pass into the middle of the pitch and they have a shot. You know, we play Wolves on the weekend, that pings in the top corner. We have 93% possession and lose 1-0. But when it clicks, it will click. And we got to trust. And I'm going to say that horrible phrase I hate, but trust the process. It'll take time. It'll take a bit of getting used to.
Kick him. Get him out. I don't want to hear that phrase. Damn.
It'll just take a bit of time and a bit of patience. But when this system works and we play with a bit of pace and we have the ball, we will just wear opponents down, wear them down. The mistakes will come. It'll come. My concern will be is the groaning will come where it's not on. People are a bit static. We're 1-1 or 1-0 down at home. The groaning will come and people will get on their backs. And it becomes a bit self-defeating, but when it clicks, it'll click. It'll be great. And Lavia midfield alongside Casido will be magic. Honestly, I'm quite enthusiastic for the season. Actually, I got to be honest, I really am. I think we could be dark horses. Really, really, a really good side. A really good side again.
I want to say there is something here that I want to say about this kind of philosophy, right? Pep Guardiola. And I'm not saying that Enzo Maresca is as good as him. I'm not. But there's various managers who've tried to bring in this philosophy in the Premier League, right? Pep Guardiola, Mikel Arteta, who was a novice manager, had less experience than Enzo Maresca had. And it didn't work for them to start with. Neither of them. It took a while. And they were getting criticised. Pep Guardiola was being called a fraud. You know, Mikel Arteta was close to the sack. It was, people were wondering if he was actually any good as a manager. You know, you had the Arsenal fans protesting at the stadium against the ownership. This is only 2 years ago, just about. And then they had a late run. I can't remember what season it was. It was 2 years ago anyway. 21-22, I think. They started to play well towards the end of that season. And the beginning of the next season, they just came from nowhere and started playing brilliant football and it all clicked. And that's because they've been working on that process and that style for a while. Yep. And they finally got it and it finally clicked, right? And all fell into place. It happened with Pep Guardiola, right? You know, the start of his second season, like he was under pressure because they'd only just finished top four the previous season. They hadn't won anything and it all clicked, you know, and we've got hope that happens here. I think we've got talented footballers where it could work. I mean, Lavia is so suited to this style, and he's an excellent footballer, technically good, tall, strong. You know, like he's going to get better.
Could he do it on a cold Tuesday night at St Mary's under Russell Martin? That's the big question.
Well, he kind of did, didn't he? he was man of the match against us, I think, when Thomas Tuchel was manager. We lost to Southampton 2-1 and he scored, I think, as well. And then we tried to buy him straight afterwards and didn't get him then. We got him a year later. But I think you've got to wait and see with this stuff. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen after two games of the season or seven games of the the season, including pre-season. You know, especially with a lot of young players. And, you know, we all know we need a goal scorer. That will make a big difference as well. Because when you've got a goal scorer, it can cover up a lot of, you know, transitional stuff, you know, getting stuff in. If you're scoring goals, if you've got a good player that's scoring goals regularly, it gives you time to develop that style while you're still winning. And that's kind of why we need, that's one of the reasons we need to get a striker, I think. And everyone agrees on that, I think. Right? We all pretty much agree on that.
No, I don't think we need a new striker. I think we need another central midfielder, another winger. I'm being sarcastic. Don't worry, absolutely.
I know.
I
was waiting for you to say we need another toddler, but you didn't say that.
Too low hanging fruit that now, mate.
Yeah.
Osimhen and Tony, please.
Ivan Tony, yeah. Osimhen or Tony would be great. We know what's going to happen then. We're going to go and sign Evan Ferguson from Brighton.
Duran.
I mean, to be fair to him, he scored a really good goal at the weekend, Duran. That was a really good finish to win the game. But I don't think he's leaving Villa, fortunately, for us. So
haven't Villa gone in for, what's his name, Omadrain? How do you say his name?
Amorodion or something, yeah.
Amorodion, yes.
We might go back for him. Wouldn't shock me. We'll see what happens. We will sign a striker, I'm pretty confident. But I would love it to be either Osimhen or Tony, quite frankly. So we'll see what happens. That's going to be an interesting one to watch. And that'll be our deadline day show, which we're going to be doing. Just a little
plug. Look at that plug. I love that score.
Yeah, see that segue? Really good. we will be doing a show on deadline day. We're going to try and get some guests to come. We're working on it. We can't name any names yet, but we're working on it. So that'll be a good show. That'll probably be a long show as well. So,
you and I need to sit down and we need to plan that, because that's going to be, we've got a couple of bits. Realistically, guys, you're probably going to have about 3 shows throughout the day. And it'll be, think old school radio. We're talking probably, I'll do a shift, score will do a shift, Dan might do a shift. We'll get some faces in, and then you'll have a couple of hour shows, and then you'll have your bulletins throughout the day.
I could be your reporter down here in Swansea, couldn't I? Like, reporting from deepest, darkest South Wales, in case someone...
if we do end up getting someone in Swansea and you are not in the space, I will be so disappointed.
Joe Allen, rumours are coming.
Joe Allen comes in as another coach.
Joe Allen. Oh, dear.
Speaking of segues, though, that is for people after this show, if you guys are interested, by the way, and what do I mean if you are interested? You will be interested, because if you have enjoyed this show, as you can see in the Jumbotron above, Dan has given us his lowdown from the ground. So of the people that are in here, if all of you, as soon as this is done, head across and listen to it. It's a 2-minute show. It's literally a bulletin. It's a 2-minute voice note. You can get Dan's thoughts straight from the ground, and you can give the Chelsea a 5-star review over there, can't they, score?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. It's great. It's always, they're always great. I've literally just retweeted it on my account as well. So
yeah, go. That's what we love to see.
I'll give that a listen. It's always great. So Chelsea 2, Servette 0. Chelsea have won their first game of the season, first clean sheet of the season, first goals of the season as well, and Kunku scoring the first goal of the Enzo Maresca reign, followed by Nonny Madueke. And yeah, we're away. It's good. It's a win. It's a clean sheet. Hopefully we can build on that. And we've got Wolves coming up on Sunday, and we will have another one of these shows after that. And we'll see what happens in between time in terms of transfers as well. Raheem Sterling apparently in talks with Aston Villa. Some rumours about that today. We'll see what happens with him. But I think he's definitely going to leave. So, yeah, thanks for joining us, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for coming up and speaking. It's really great to hear from you all. It's good to get views from fans and to have some really kind of smart, rational conversation about Chelsea. It's a really good... I really enjoy doing these spaces. I really like the community we have and the conversations that we have. Even when we disagree, we still have really good discussions and respectful discussions, and that's great. So thanks everyone for joining us. Join us again on Sunday for post-match Wolves game, and check out that voice note that's Louis has just mentioned. We'll see you all on Sunday, and up the Chelsea.